And as we sit, I'm going to pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you that you've not left us guessing about what you're like, but that in your love you gave us your Son to live as a man amongst us, that we might see him and see who you are. And we pray now as we look at some of the words that he spoke, you would open the eyes of our hearts that we would see more of who you are and what you're like, and that what we see would melt our hearts and change our lives. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been the year of fake news. The Daily Mirror and the Daily Mail both fell for the story of the man in KFC who was served a deep-fried rat. It wasn't true. They both published the story. It wasn't true. What happens is a story appears in the internet, on the internet, and the more people click it and like it and retweet it, the more it becomes the news. So some fake stories are just kind of funny. Some have more serious consequences. Do you remember Pizzagate? The story that Hillary Clinton was involved in a network of child abusers that was centered around a pizza restaurant called Comet Ping Pong. One man was so angry at this story, he actually stormed into Comet Ping Pong with a rifle, demanding that the staff release the children who were being held hostage in the basement. It was fake news, but he fired real bullets. And who knows the impact that story had on the US election. It was huge. Here's the thing. What if, when it comes to God, we have fallen for a fake news story? The story that seems to have gone round is something like this. Get rid of God, and then we will be free. And everyone likes that story. They click it. And it just becomes accepted as the truth. God is the enemy of freedom. Get rid of God, then we'll be free. But just hold on a moment. Look behind that story for a moment. If there is no God, if the universe is nothing but atoms and molecules, if we are nothing but atoms and molecules, in what sense are we free? Atoms and molecules don't make choices. They just react to other atoms and molecules. If all I am is a machine made of meat, what I do is not what I choose to do. It's just what I am programmed to do. Now, don't mishear me. I'm not saying this proves there is a God. I'm just saying if God is not real, that is a story that has serious consequences. If God is not real, it means everything we have valued about being human, like the fact that we are free, is not real either. The stakes are too high for us to just go along with a story like that. We need to know if it's true. And that's why we need Christmas. You say, oh, come on, Christmas is the ultimate fake news story, isn't it? Have a look at the verse printed on the sheet there, under where it says address. This is Jesus speaking. It's just a few hours before his death, and he tells us why he was born. He says, this is why there is Christmas. He's talking to Pilate, who's a Roman governor. He says, you are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you're right in saying I am a king. In fact, here it is, for this reason I was born. And for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Do you see why he was born? To testify to the truth. Now, I know that people say that we are in a kind of post-truth age. We're in an age where what matters is not the truth. What matters is how you feel about something. This week, a bus driver was jailed for a year because although the signs told him the road was closed due to flooding, he felt it'd be okay. 30 school children had to be rescued. See, the truth does matter. Ignore it. Go with just what we feel. It can have serious consequences. If we want to live without crashing in this world, we do need to know the truth of this world. One moral philosopher puts it like this. He says, I can only answer the question, what am I to do, if I know what story I'm part of. And here is Jesus, and he says he was born to show us the truth, to show us the story we are part of. And it's a story with four big chapters. Chapter one, there is a God who made us. There is a God who made us. The big truth Jesus has come to show us. See, Jesus says he's come to show us the truth. You want to know the truth. Where do you look? Look at him. What do you make of him? What do you make of a child whose birth was foretold hundreds of years before? They said he would be born in Bethlehem. He was. And when he grew up, he started preaching, and he read out a bit of the Bible that talks of how God promises that one day God would come and put this broken world back together again. And Jesus reads it out, and he rolls it up and sits down and says, now is that scripture fulfilled. The day you've all been waiting for has come, because I am here. And everyone's thinking, what? What are you talking about? That was something God was going to do. What do you mean? Jesus goes on. There's one time when he heals a bloke on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees, the kind of religious leaders, say, you shouldn't do that. Only God can work on the Sabbath. And Jesus says, oh yeah, my Father is working and I am working too. In other words, God works on a Sabbath, so do I. I do what God does. And that may not sound like a particularly big deal to us, but the Pharisees, they got the point exactly. And it says they were outraged. Why were they outraged? It says because he was making himself equal with God. See, people often pigeonhole Jesus as a good teacher. The striking thing is that those who first heard him didn't think he was a good teacher at all. They were outraged by the sort of claims he kept making for himself. He kept putting himself on God's side of the line. Who did he think he was? And his outrageous claims were underlined by his extraordinary deeds. That the miracles were not just sort of random party tricks. They were signs that pointed to who he was. So the prophets had said that God, when he came, would restore the sight of the blind. The lame would walk, lepers would be cleansed. And that is exactly what Jesus went round doing. There was one time he was out on a boat with some of his followers, and a storm brews up, and they are terrified. They think they're going to drown. And Jesus stands up and says a word, and the storm is still, and sea is flat. And you'd think his followers would be relieved, but they're even more terrified. They say, who is this? Who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? Because the only person they knew who had that sort of power over wind and waves was God. Who is this in their boat? You see, look at Jesus and you've got to rethink everything. The only language that makes sense of him is God language. You look at him and that's where you see the truth. You see, there is a God who made the world. And he made us in his image. In other words, he made us to be like him. And it seems to me that that is the truth that makes sense of our experience of being human. God is a creator. He makes moonlight and mountains and mists that are beautiful, that take your breath away. No surprise, if we are like him, that we are creative. We make music and mosaics and muffins. God is love. We are like him. We're not just looking for the most efficient way to ensure the survival of the species. We're looking for love. God is just. He cares about right and wrong, and we are like him. That's why we don't actually live by the survival of the fittest. We care for those who are downtrodden and poor. See, the fake news story that goes around says we are nothing but atoms and molecules. What we are here for is to ensure the survival of the species, that's all. But that is a story that doesn't make sense of our human experience. On Wednesday, I had the radio on, and I was just captivated by a guy called Tommy Whitelaw. Did you hear this? He was talking about caring for his mother, who was suffering from vascular dementia. She barely recognized him, but he loved her. And he said to him, she was beautiful, most beautiful woman in the world. Yes. Yes, the fact that God made us in his image makes us precious. That's the story that makes sense of Tommy Whitelaw's love for his mother. And the more we fall for the story that there's no God, that we're just here to propagate our DNA, the less precious human beings will become. And the more dangerous our world will be for people who are not strong or not clever or haven't got so much of a contribution to make to the survival of the species. It'll be a brutal new world. Jesus shows us the truth. There is a God who made us. Second truth that Jesus shows us when you look at him is there is a God we have rebelled against. One of the fake news stories that it seems to me we've all fallen for is that doing what God wants will harm us. So the way to flourish is do what I want. Why is Christmas with the family, Christmas with the people whom we most love, so often a time of tension? It seems to me it's because everyone is doing what they want to do. So I'm doing what I want to do, and I don't want to help with the washing up. I want to watch Bake Off Christmas Special. Uncle Robert, he doesn't want to watch Bake Off Christmas Special. He wants to watch The Great Escape. Anne does want to help with the washing up, but she also wants to rake up the past. You don't want that. Do you see? The reason it's not a happy day, the reason that there is tension in the room is precisely because we're all doing what we want. See the harm it causes? And it ripples out. We want to wear cheap clothes. I don't think about the harm that causes to the children in the sweatshops. We want to be free to access porn. I don't think about the harm that does to women. We want to walk away from our marriage. You know, I owe it to myself. It's what I feel. It's what I don't think about the harm that does to the children. Do you see what's happened? The fake news story has told us doing what God wants is harmful. Doing what we want, that's the way to flourish. And Jesus shows us the truth. See, Christmas is about God coming as one of us, as a human being, to show us what human beings are meant to be. Look at his life. Look at it. One of his best friends said that Jesus committed no sin and there was no deceit ever found on his mouth. This was a friend who was with him 3 years and he could find no dirt on him. Jesus showed us how to love our enemies. He showed us how to forgive rather than take revenge. Jesus is the one who tore down the barriers of race and gender. Jesus is the one who insisted all people were equal. Jesus is the one who warns us again and again not to be judgmental. Jesus is the one who showed us what it means to be humble. Jesus is the one who showed us what it means to love, to lay down your life for other people. And you see, we've spent 2,000 years kind of getting used to that, but what he showed the world was revolutionary. And we've just gone along with this fake news story that says God's ways harmful. Look at Jesus, will you? You see what God's ways are like? God's ways are beautiful. Bertrand Russell, who's a philosopher, not a Christian at all, he said, if everyone lived as Jesus lived, the world would be paradise. It's right, isn't it? It means when you look at Jesus, you realize how wrong we have been to kick against God's ways, think God's ways are harmful. And maybe there's times when you've seen that and you have wanted to change. You've seen God's ways are good and you've wanted to be more like Jesus. You know, you've done something you wanted to do and you've ended up hurting someone you love and you've said, I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to change. And how do you get on with that? How long does it last? It's hard, isn't it? Can't do it. See, the truth is, we were made by God, and the life that we were made for is life lived in relationship with Him. And if I have kicked against Him, I am not connected with Him. I'm like a Christmas tree that's been ripped out of the soil. I'm not connected to the source of life that I need. So that's why I don't have the power to change. I don't have the power to live the Jesus life that I was created for. I'm not connected to the God who is the source of that kind of beautiful life. That's why the third big truth that Jesus shows us is such good news. There is a God who made us. There is a God we have rebelled against. And then wonderfully, there is a God who's come to save us. Seems to me we're all looking for some kind of salvation. We're all looking for something that will kind of rescue our lives. I don't know what it is for you. The fake news stories that go around tell us what we need. Salvation is a better job or a bigger house or to be married to someone else or to lose weight or run a marathon. But you know as well as I do that there are plenty of people who have run their marathons and they still haven't found what they're looking for. See, if you're going to get the right solution, you've got to identify the right problem. And the problem is we've kicked against the God who made us. We are disconnected from Him, which means the salvation we need is to be reconnected to Him. And this is an area in which we have heard a lot of fake news. We've heard that to be reconnected to God, you need to be good. Or you need to clean up your act. You need to go to church. Or you need to become spiritual in some way. You need to... And that leaves us thinking, well, I don't know. I don't know whether I don't know whether I make the grade. No, Jesus has come to show us the truth. And it's a wonderful truth. Because the truth is not that we somehow have to make the grade and find our way to God. The truth is there is a God who has come to save us. In other words, salvation is not about my reaching up to Him. It's about how He has reached down to us. It's what we see at Christmas. God, born as a baby, wriggling in the straw. God lived as a man who knew what it was to sweat and be tired, knew what it was to weep for people he loved, who knew what it was to be misunderstood, who knew what it was to be let down by a friend. The highest of the high. And he stooped down to be with us. And the story goes on. He stooped down even lower than the cradle. He stooped down to the cross. He came not just to stand with us. He came to stand in our place. And there on the cross, he lays down his life for us. That is what God has done to save us. Did you see the truth? The fake news story, the story that goes around says, God doesn't care. God doesn't care. Look at Jesus. Do you see how much he cares? How he's reached down. How he was laid in a manger. How he laid down his life to reconnect you to the life that you were made for. That's how much he cares. Final big truth that Jesus came to show us. What was it? There is a God who made us. There is a God we have rebelled against. There is a God who's come to save us. There is a God who will judge the world. Now, I know we kind of shrink from the language of judgment, which always strikes me as odd because we do long for justice. We long for all that is wrong to be dealt with. We long for evil to be punished. We do. And the fake news story gives us no hope of justice. The world just is as it is. You can't really talk about justice in the end because there isn't really a judge who stands over the world who will be able to deliver justice. But Jesus has come to show us the truth. You look at his birth, you look at his life, you look at his death, and you keep watching, and you see him rise from the dead. And what that means is the baby who was born small in a stable is in fact bigger than death, bigger than the whole universe. He is in fact the one who stands over the whole universe. He is its judge. And he says one day he will do justice. And he will deal with all that's wrong. And he will rewind death itself and put this whole broken world back together again. And of course, putting things right means dealing with what is wrong. It means judgment. Good news means justice. But sobering news, because on the day he comes to deal with all that is wrong, the question is, how will he deal with me? Do you see what he says at the end of this little quote? Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. On the day that he comes to deal with all that is wrong, will I stand before him as a rebel? Like the bus driver who ignored the truth, didn't... Well, I'd stand before him as someone who didn't listen to the message of Christmas, just sailed on, carried on, wrecking things. Or will I stand before him as someone who has stopped and listened to him? It seems to me the truth that Jesus comes to testify to tells a story that makes sense of our human experience. But do you know the best thing about the story? The best thing about the story is the person who is at the heart of it. The one whose birth we celebrate. He says to Pilate, he is the king. And if you're anything like me, you don't really have much time for kings. But this king has real power. This king has power to make a beautiful world and to make us. This king, even when we thought we knew better than he did and messed up his world, this king didn't give up on us. This king loves us so much that he came for us, that he made himself small for us, that he stooped low for us. Why? So he could raise us up, so we could be part of his kingdom. So that he could give us the hope of a world made new with him, enjoying life with him forever. Do you see, the best thing about all this is you've not just got a truth to live by, you've got a person to live with, a person to live for, a king who loves you, a king you can call my king. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me, says Jesus. This Christmas, will you listen to him? Will you listen to him? Will you listen to his voice calling you to face reality, face your king? Let's pause there and let's take a moment to be quiet. and reflect on what God is saying to us. So let's just be still. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Lord Jesus, we pray that this Christmas you would give us ears to listen to what you are saying. Amen.